yesterday we had a rather heated discussion about who are you.
Amen.
We're going to continue it. And it's in relationship to the idea of sowing and reaping in Luke 12:24. So let's first go to John 12. Well, let's read Luke 12 so we get it in context. Luke, we're going to read Luke 12 first.
Okay.
It's verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? We spent a lot of time studying the ravens, and we couldn't figure out what the type was. But now we're going to study sowing and reaping. Let's go to John chapter 12.
John 20?
12. This is one of the last things that he said before his crucifixion to his disciples. In verse 23 it says, "And Jesus answered and saying, the hour is come, the Son of Man should be glorified." Then he says this mysterious thing, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." And remember, love is a verb there, so it means giving breath to yourself in any way. And now let's go to Isaiah 26. Start at verse 10. Remember, this was a hymn. This was sung by the Levites, the whole chapter 26. And it was sung on very specific occasions. But anyway, "Let favor be shown to the wicked one."
Where are you?
26, verse 10, I'm sorry. "Let favor be shown to the wicked one." And that's really what it says, because it has a definite article before it. So it's hot, and then the wicked one. "Yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when thy hand is lifted up, they will not see. But they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. O Lord our God, other lords besides thee have had dominion over us. But by thee only will we make mention of thy name." Now that's a strange sentence. "By thee only will we make mention of thy name." There is no other causation other than God. And so anything else reveals idolatry. Everybody understand that? "By thee only will we make mention of thy name." We won't put his name. Well, anyway, let's just accept that for a minute. "They are dead, they shall not live, They are deceased, they shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them, and made all their memory to perish. Now this is the other lords besides thee that have had dominion over us. And the main lord that it has had dominion over us is you. You, but because it's not really you, it's the evil one masquerading as you. Can everybody buy that? Other lords besides thee have had dominion over us, but now they are dead, and you'll make even the memory of them to perish. Okay? Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord, thou hast increased the nation, thou art glorified, thou had removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. So he's increased the nation by the Feast of Pentecost. And the gospel has been preached to every creature which is under heaven. Thank God he didn't leave preaching to idiots like us. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee, and they poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near to the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight. We have been with child and we have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. And that's everything we've ever done. All we've done is brought forth wind. We have not brought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Now, there's a but there in verse 19. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake now and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. Thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chamber. Now thy chamber is that secret pavilion under the wings of the cherubim, on the place that's called the oracle of God. That's where his people are present, hiding. Shut thy doors behind thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Now the question is, who is thy dead men shall live? It's his people that have seen their death. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 13, for whether we be beside ourselves, it means nuts, it's really stupid, whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. You're never in the picture. If you're sober, you live to manifest the mystery in others. That's your only reason for being alive. For the love of, and this is why, for the love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. The human race died on the cross. But the wicked one is risen from the dead in most of them, if not all of them. He's been raised from his deadly head wound. And that wicked one, that instead of Christ, that 666 is all men's minds, without exception. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him after the flesh no more. Therefore, because of all that, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's not new chronos, which is newness in time, but this is kaion. I can't even pronounce it. It's a word that means some spectacular, unexpected thing. It's as if an alien has come down and manifested. And that's who we are. We live because we still have a name, but there is nothing about us that is us, because it's a new creature. Old things are passed away, they're dead. There's no more. Behold, all things are become new. Who are we? Who's your life? You are Christ in human form. But you have the propensity, if you give it breath to anything in time and space, to continually raise the evil one from his deadly head wound. If any man love the world, the love of Christ is not, love of God is not in him. If you're giving breath to anything in the world, in time and space system, then you've left the love of God and return to the evil one as your God. Your life. So the question is, who are we?
Excuse me.
Oh, he said, excuse me. I thought you said humor.
Humor me.
All right, anybody have any response to any of that?
Sounds good to me.
So there's never a question within you of who's talking. Unless it is regarding time and space. What's in time and space? Then there's a different world. Then there's a return to your first love, which isn't God or Jesus Christ. Consider these things. You can also go to, oh, it's all over the place, but you can go to Hosea 13. You can go to Ezekiel 37. It prophesies. Isaiah 65. They all prophesy this. Isaiah 59. But the point of it is, you are a new creature. New, not in time. You didn't become something better than you were. It's a new thing that is so shocking, it's unbelievable. That's what the word new there means. The love of Christ constraineth, that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Now, our home is the new land, the new creation, the new Jerusalem. All things become new because that new Jerusalem descended as a bride adorned for her husband on Pentecost. So now, wherever we look, it's God is all and in all. Any affliction that happens, you're filling up the testing of the bride. It has nothing to do with you anymore. You don't exist. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. An alien, if you will. It's so simple. Soul or spirit, soul or spirit, soul or spirit. Good or evil is what discerning good or evil. That's just what you see. You don't have to spend any time figuring it out. Anybody believe it? I know John does, and I know Josanna does. I do.
Maybe I should say amen.
It would be a good idea.
That helps.
This is something that is so outlandish. The talking about it makes you a fool in the eyes of the world. Not how the world becomes better or people get something in the world. That has nothing to do with it. That's enough for today. Think on these things. If you're going to think on these things. Prove your own self how that Jesus Christ is in you. Prove. Know you not your own self. Prove it. You've got to know that you know that you know. That's why this incredible, for me, that's the idea of doing what I did and just losing everything, and not, I didn't do anything honorable, I give it away, I just lost it. And then the Beacons Van and Storage came and took all the stuff. Well, that I had ordered them to, I mean, I had fired them to, and then they got sent a registered letter back to the address that I was, and I wasn't there. So I went back to the place to visit somebody. He said, "Mr. Anthony, we have a registered letter for you." It was there for about 3 weeks or more. It says, unless we receive $347 payment, your goods will be sold at auction. So these stupid programs that I watch, Storage Wars, every time I watch it, I see somebody
taking your stuff.
And there was an Andrew Wyeth painting I had, which was unbelievable. I spent $50,000 in 1960-something to have my condo redecorated, and it was redecorated. I just went to Europe, and I gave him a blank check. He spent $50,000 in 1964, money, which is a bunch. I had the neatest condo in the universe. For me, for a playboy, and then it's all gone. Every time you cross the international date line, I go up to the Arctic Circle, and all the stuff that I had gathered at countries all over the world. A gun collection. But it had to happen for me. So that I had no option but waiting on him. And then I said, "Wait a minute, I'm not too sure I like this." So I was going to think about getting it all back somehow. So I said, no, I better not do that until I prove that God is wrong. And what I saw was just a delusion. There's nothing honorable about anything I did. I was trying to prove God wrong. But I promise you that I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is in me, that I have no life but Him. And that's all I want from each one of you.
If I told you I know that too, would you believe it?
I believe it, but I think you often leave it.
Well, maybe you're thinking wrong.
Maybe I am. I pray that you are.
Yeah, you talk to me as if I am, or that I don't know.
Well, when you say stuff that gives the impression you don't know, then I say it. Then I talk to you like that, the same I would to anybody else.
But it's established that often you don't understand what I'm talking about.
Well, I don't know that that's been established or not. Okay, well, think about the years and years of discussing time.
And you think I've changed my mind or something?
Yes. No.
So you're holding on to something?
No. I'm holding on to what the revelation of Christ is, and that alone. That is my only life.
We're almost three.
What?
We're almost three.
I said we're almost three.
Oh, shut up.
We know how to strike matches.
Okay, take it, big guy.